Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? This is One Royal Way here on Kansas City Sports Network. I'm Joel Penfield, and joining me tonight, one of my co-hosts over on Royals Farm Report. 2 weeks in a row, we got some RFR love here on One Royal Way. Josh Kaiser joining me tonight. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, man? Thanks for having me. Sorry I missed the show this last week. We had a double booking on the schedule, and it just happens sometimes. But happy to be here on One Royal Way with you, man.
And we had to get your beautiful voice and your beautiful face here on this podcast, on one of these podcasts here on KCSN at some point this week. So we had to make it happen.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
All right. Well, I hope that this show can be positive vibes only. I don't know if it will be that, but we can at least do our damnedest to try, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we'll see where this takes us, but before we get into that, the show is always brought to you by Kansas City Strength and Conditioning. Let's hear a quick word from them.
From the beginning, we knew right away that we wanted to do strength conditioning and a throwing program for the baseball and softball community. It wasn't something we were trying to back into or all of a sudden learn. We knew we were really good at these coaching these skills from the get-go, and the fact that we're in the same business and the employees are all on the same page, you know, we can write a program based off of what a kid needs, not just getting him stronger or faster from a general sense. It's what does this kid need? On the pitching end, we can say, hey, this kid needs such and such. He needs to do this or that better. A lot of times it turns out it's not something that needs to be fixed in the baseball cage or on the throwing mound. It actually needs to be fixed in the weight room.
Big thanks, as always, to KCSC for sponsoring this show and helping us get baseball content to you here on KCSN. If you got a baseball or softball player in the area, be sure to go check them out. Go and train there. It's one of the best places in the area for baseball and softball. All right, Josh. Well, I think you have a stiff drink like I do, so this will probably end up being a very cathartic conversation in some form or fashion. What we're going to try and do tonight is just – I mean, this past week has not been great for the Royals, losing 2 out of 3 in Baltimore, dropping the opener to the Texas Rangers playing tonight. We're in the fifth inning of the game on Wednesday night. It's currently 3-0 Royals, so hopefully this gets them off the schneid and they're able to pick up a win here on this road trip. It'll be the second one on this road trip. But there's been so much talk about the season so far, and Royals Twitter is kind of up in arms and people are upset, and I think rightfully so. And I think that'll be some of the conversation we have here. I don't know where to begin here. I think there's a lot to unpack. We're 27 games into the year. I know people want to act like the sky is falling. And while I entirely disagree with that sentiment, I do think there is a lot of concerning stuff going on with this ball club. So as you know, my guest here tonight, I'll let you kind of start off. Where do you want to start this? And we can just kind of work our way through as this podcast goes.
Well, let's explore what we're talking about, why we think that this season is already 65 games into the season, where people are already kind of acting like they're apathetic, they're giving up on the season, they're ready to blow it all up, whatever you want to call it. It's interesting to me to explore that because I've watched 95% of these games. We've as we cover the four Royals farm system, we've watched a ton of their games as well. We kind of know what is behind them. What is the internal options for change as far as rosters go? I want to understand why people are already jumping ship, if you will. I mean, is that because last year went so terribly? Is that because the year before that went so terribly? I mean, what is the cause of this? I totally understand it. I'm feeling it as well. And as a person covering the Royals, it's tough. We had Alec Lewis on the Royals Farm Report. You guys did a great job on that episode, by the way. But even he's like, I don't know, man. Like, nobody knows. Nobody knows where to go from here. And I'm very glad that I'm not the one responsible for turning the ship around and heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have all the answers. At a certain point, and I know a lot of this stems from, you know, the term fan. Fan is short for fanatic. People want and clamor for good baseball. And I talked about it a little bit with Alex last week that there's a little bit of recency bias in here and that we know what winning baseball in Kansas City can be. And sure, as a small market club, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. You're going to have some 100 loss seasons in here. That just is kind of the nature of it. There's a lot of other teams that go through that. And you would think that after a few years, and it seemed like we were being sold on, the Royals had a plan in place. We're going to draft all these college pitchers and we're going to develop. They're going to come to the big leagues. They're going to be a part of the reason why we're going to get all this rebuild moving. They're going to help kickstart it. And then you go and get a guy like Bobby Witt Jr., generational talent. He's going to come up. He's on your opening day roster. There was some legitimate buzz that the Royals could actually be kind of frisky. I think reasonable Royals fans did not expect them to be a playoff team this year. I don't even think they expected them to really contend for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I thought they needed to improve on where they were last year. They had a good month of September. Think maybe they can go win 77, 80 games, be kind of sneaky, finish second or third in the AL Central, and really catapult into 2023 and think, hey, we can go and compete for the division. We can compete with the White Sox. We can compete with the Twins. We can be right there with the Tigers to try and the Guardians and make this division not just so top heavy with the White Sox. And right now it feels like we were sold a bag of bad goods, that there really isn't a direction. There isn't a lot of development happening at the big league level. Guys that have left the organization and gone to other teams are producing in their roles very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Lewis mentioned it in his article. Like, that doesn't go unseen in the Royals locker room right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that is just going wrong. And it's almost like Murphy's Law at this point, that anything that could go wrong has. Like Whit Merrifield went from being one of the most consistent players in baseball, then he has been outright terrible, one of the worst hitters in baseball. And he hit a home run tonight, so maybe that turns it around, but he's been terrible. Carlos Santana he looks like the Carlos Santana we saw in the second half last year. Bobby Wood Jr. came up. And I think there was unrealistic expectations for Bobby Wood Jr. that he was going to come up and just light the world on fire. Like, it's not that easy. But he has certainly been one of the positives on this team. Salvador Perez got out the gate terribly. All of these young pitchers, really outside of Daniel Lynch, have been downright terrible. Brad Keller even kind of got blown up a little bit yesterday. The bullpen has certainly been a bright spot, but I think people had higher expectations for what this roster could be, and they decided to run it back essentially with the same roster they had last year. Not make any significant moves, not make any trades that were talked about, not really go into free agency with anybody, that it was going to be this kind of veteran-laden lineup plus Bobby Witt Jr. And these young pitchers.
Yeah.
And it has not worked, and we're seeing a lot of the same issues come game to game, which is a problem because it feels like they're kind of stuck in their ways and they're not wanting to make legitimate changes to try and compete and win. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration is coming from, that the Royals are not – you know, trying to get out in front. They're acting like Major League Baseball in a way. Like, they are not being proactive. They're being reactive. And that's not what you want to be when the product on the field has been awful.
And it's tough. Like, we were kind of throwing this around pre-show. Like, yeah, we want to see this person gone. We want to see this roster move made. That's not a guarantee to work either. And it's just one of those things where I'm not going to claim, like you said, I'm not going to claim like I know better, but some of these things seem so obvious to the casual fan. Even I would even call us an above average fan, if you will, but even a casual fan can see that the starting pitching is not taking a step forward. What's the deal there? Nothing. Nothing's the problem. Okay, so let's just keep doing what we're doing and keep throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it fits. Okay, I don't think that that's going to work, but let's just keep trying because I don't know any better. We want to keep throwing Ryan O'Hearn in the three spot and the four spot. Why? Why are we doing that? Yeah. Oh, we don't know. There's no real reason. Okay, I guess we'll just keep going. I mean, I don't know what the answer is here. It seems like there's obvious options that we can go and kind of make changes. But for some reason, they're not being made. They know better than me in that situation. I hope, but that's not necessarily the case. And I would like to see some kind of shakeup. But again, we're 27 games into the season. That's 17% of the games played. It's been a very weird year already with days off. The weather's been crappy. So I can buy that to a certain extent. They don't want to make any drastic changes till game, what they always say, like 40. So if that's the case, then we're just going to bide our time a little bit longer. The season's not done. Let's just a little more patience is not a bad thing in this situation. Cause at the very least we go back and let the kids play, let the kids figure it out, grind their teeth. This is always going to be how it's going to be for most kids. Most kids are not going to set the world on fire. They're not Juan Soto. There's a reason why Juan Soto is Juan Soto. There's a reason why Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer, Chris Bubich, Jackson Kowar, all these dudes are struggling at that next level because it's the hardest damn game to play in the world. So I totally get the angst. I totally get the frustration. I totally understand where every fan is coming from. It's just, it's tough for me to just, the sky is falling after 27 yeah. games. So it's just one of those things where I'm trying to grit my teeth and hope that a Whit Merrifield home run and starting John Heasley next tomorrow is going to change things and things are going to turn around and there's positive regression coming. And I mean, even Fangraphs have them going, what, 434 win percentage for this year, 70 to 92. So that's positive regression. We're going to see something at some point. The math is there and just the baseball gods are not that fickle, I don't think.
I don't think so, but it's also baseball, so who knows? I generally did not have super high expectations for the season. I knew sure. there was going to be some growing pains, and I knew that kind of running out a little bit of an older roster with a lot of guys yeah. either on the back end of their career or just that are not good big leaguers, that it probably was going to be kind of up and down. Mm-hmm. I just didn't expect things to bottom out this quickly in certain areas. And I think that's a lot of where my frustration goes. And I think that generally is kind of the way other Royals fans are too. Mm. Now I say that, if they were 9-18 and Bobby was up Bobby's playing every day, you get MJ in the lineup every day, some combination of Olivares, Isbell every day, you decide, you know what? I'm sorry, Ryan. I know you've been a great steward of this organization, but we have 1,000 plate appearances of data that you are not an everyday big leaguer. Vinny Pasquantino, here you go, dude. Nick Prado, here you go, dude. Like, and just get them in the lineup and they go 9-18. Okay. Yeah. Like, yep.
There's a direction.
There is a direction. They are playing towards the future of the yeah. organization. Mm-hmm. The next good Royals team is going to have a lot of these guys on there. And I know I talked about this last week, but I think the let the kids play thing is going to be a recurring theme on this podcast until things turn around or until I'm blue in the face and we're still watching a lot of this same lineup in September and the Royals are 35 games below .500, a month out in the standings. Mm-hmm. So there's some frustration. I understand some stuff. Like, I'm not going to claim, like, there's a reason why JJ Piccolo, Dayton Moore are in the positions that they are. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of the issues that we're seeing stem from from that area. Mm-hmm. And one thing, I will defend Dayton Moore to the end. I'm with Alex on that. But I think what could end up being the undoing of the Dayton Moore era in Kansas City, and I'm not trying to get too hyperbolic here, but it is the loyalty to a fault to a lot of players.
Yeah.
And loyalty is a good thing, inherently a good thing. You want to be good to your people. That's what people talk about in Kansas City and people that are outside the Royals organization and inside the Royals organization, how great the culture is in that aspect. But you held on to Whit Merrifield for too long. You needed to trade him a couple of years ago if you really wanted to compete. I understand wanting to keep him around and have a guy, through 100 lost seasons and just a stalwart fan favorite dude. I understand it. But yep. from a baseball sense, like that, if you really wanted to do right by Whit Merrifield, you would have traded him to a contender so he can go play playoff baseball before he's out of his prime.
Yeah.
the loyalty to get it to keeping Ryan O'Hearn in the lineup every single day. And what I mean, and when I talk about this, and I know people will maybe want to spin it as I hate Ryan O'Hearn. I have no ill will towards him whatsoever. There's just enough data out there that flatly you can see that he is not an everyday big league ball player. He's maybe a platoon bench bat somewhere. But the Royals have tried since his – it was great in 2018, and they tried 2019, 2020, 2021, stick him in the lineup in a lot of everyday spots, and he's been 35 to 40% below league average for most of his entire career. That doesn't cut it at any level. So my frustration lies with the organization feeling the need to kind of force feed that and try and make it work when it clearly has not. When you have almost 1,000 plate appearances, that's a really big sample in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point, you got to cut ties and you have to move on.
The weird thing is, it's also a Matheny thing.
Yes.
It would be one thing if it's the front office.
When I mean the organization, that means the coaching staff, the front office, kind of all in the, that conglomerate, because
they're all on the same page. They're all in the camp, and it just blows my mind how it's like.
Yes.
How can you justify it to the fans and also yourselves? What is the justification? If there is, let us know. I would love to know it, and maybe that'll quell some of these things. But the stats, the things that are open to the public, don't add up.
Right, and. I kind of mentioned a little bit ago that we've been kind of sold a bad batch of goods for this season. Was we were told the Royals by the organization that they believe they could start moving toward that competing window this year. And that is clearly not the case. And I don't know if it was, and I don't want to believe that they are ignorant to, they want, truly believe, yes, we're going to win this year with a team that's probably going to lose 90 plus games. I don't think they're, but I do wonder, it's probably some combination of trying to keep fans interested and also thinking that you actually can. And so, you know, if things fall the right way, then you're going to do that.
Yeah.
If they had walked into this year and said, hey, we're going young. It's not going to be pretty at times. We're going to get all these guys in here. We're going to make it go. I think if the Royals were, like I said, if the Royals were 9-18, all those guys are playing and the pitchers are out there every fifth day and they're getting their work and they're trying to develop and they're getting better, I don't think fans would be upset with where we sit right now.
Yeah.
But the lineup,
they keep feeding us the same line every year.
Exactly.
It's been that way for the last 3 years. Like, we're not rebuilding, we're reloading, we're going. It's like, great, I love the lip service, let's do something. And then
they don't. And then they do nothing or it doesn't work. So again, adapt or die. Find a way to make, and I feel like I'm just going to end up talking in circles and I don't want to do that, but it's just, I mean, my thoughts are just spinning right now because I have so much. It's just, it's just pure frustration at this point in certain areas with this. Like Alex and I talked about it last week at a couple different points. The Royals do so many good things. Well, they treat their people well. They've generally draft pretty well. I mean, I'm not going to call any of those 2018. Like, I'm not going to try and, be revisionist history and act like the 2018 class is all bad. And, like some people want to do and just write all these guys off. I'm not going to do that.
Sure.
Getting Bobby Witt Jr. is obviously huge. Mm-hmm. And they treat the people, they get them up, and they found ways to play winning baseball. I mean, Dayton Moore won a World Series in Kansas City. I know that looks like it was 20 years ago, but it was like. But it doesn't help when you have 200 lost seasons in there immediately following that core leaving and not even being able to get back to the playoffs after 2015. So there's some stench there. Like, I get it. I get that frustration too. So there's a lot here, man.
I was thinking about the other day, like the comp picks that we're talking about, the 28 class was that core. So you basically, all right, we have to take these comp picks and turn them into something. And then the whole last 3 years, we've been told, hey, this is something. They've done something. They've got dudes. They're making some internal changes. They're jumping up with analytics. They're examining things more. Mike Matheny is more like well-rounded as a manager now, as a old school that does meet analytics. And we still are missing that last step of development.
Yep.
And that is where we are. And I mean, say what you want about Cal Eldred. He's obviously, something is not clicking with these dudes. And we've always credited Max Reaper with this, but if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem type of thing. And it doesn't seem like Cal Eldred is able to reach those guys. But at the same time, maybe it's the bullpen coaching, but the bullpen's been pretty solid the last three years. So there's some success stories from the pitching staff in this organization that people want to look over, because the problem with the pitching staff, a problem with the starters in particular, and started with the young starters. They haven't developed anybody. That we were told that it was going to be, you know, this group is going to have at least two, maybe three, maybe four guys that can start baseball games for this club. And now it's kind of looking like none of them can. That is a problem, but I don't know where to go after that.
Well, yeah, it's really tough when you kind of banked about 80% of the rebuild on the pitching.
Yeah.
So you have to get somebody in there that can get to these guys and figure it out. And the quote I think you were going for, and I'm not trying to like correct you or anything, but I think Max Reaper said, I don't think Cal Eldred is the problem, like the whole problem, but he is certainly not part of the solution.
Yes.
So at that point, you know, you probably have to move on at a certain point and try and get somebody in here that can get to these young pitchers, be able to fine tune and figure things out. There are so many organizations that are getting just awesome at player development. Go pick their brain, go figure it out. Like go talk to, I know, outside organizations. A lot of guys are finding that, you know, a Daniel Lynch goes and works elsewhere in the offseason. Brad Keller has, Scott Barlow does it, KCSC. So they're like, maybe finding some of these independent guys is the way to go. Like when the Reds hired Kyle Bodie, you know, just to try and do something different. And hey, the Reds are actually pretty good at developing pitching now. They got Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo in the big leagues now. So, you know, there's something there. I'm not going to try and, you know, act like, you know, and I know Royals Twitter really wants to do it, of fire everyone, you know, put their heads on pikes, you know, march around Kansas City. It's like, guys, we're 27 games in. Certainly the metrics and things that we were seeing are startling. Like the Royals have I think now it's like the 28th offense in baseball. They're around like 27th or 28th in team ERA. They're 29th in runs per game.
29.
Yeah. Like none of this is good. It's not. And so don't sell me on that we're trying to win this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any more of that. I don't want to hear, oh, we're going to turn this around. It's going to be a really good story.
It's like I'm hungry. I'm going to go, what can I have? Oh, McDonald's. McDonald's usually a good go-to. I think, you know, my expectations are, you know, they're fine. I think it's a meal that will fill me up, but it's not going to be life-changing. And then I get home and they put those damn raw onions on my double quarter pounder with cheese. It's like, what the hell, man? I'd had low expectations and then you still screwed me over in my crappy food. Like that's what I feel like as a whole in this season so far. But again, I've only had a couple bites out of the burger, and maybe it's only onions on the one part. So it's always coming back around the food with me, man.
So hey, I respect it, man. Everyone's got their analogies. I get it. So let's try and have some tangible solutions here before I just keep rambling. So I think the easiest move to make is bringing up one of Vinny or Nick Prado or both, Parkinho Los Dos, and putting them at first base, DH, right field, whatever you have to do to get them in the lineup. And you're probably going to see some decent production. Like Vinny is doing really – he had that weird slump in the middle of last week, but hit his sixth home run. He's still walking more than he's striking out, right up around his career average, around 50% better than league average hitting-wise. And he's going to put together at-bats similar to what MJ Melendez is doing, putting together really good, solid at-bats where they're hunting pitches. They're going to take a walk if it's there. They're not going to swing like crazy. It's going to be very different than what we're seeing with a lot of the established veterans here, that they're very aggressive hitters. They don't walk a lot. Bobby Wood Jr. has always kind of been that way. I'd like to see him walk a little more, but at least he's not striking out at the same, you know, the clip of like Salvi right now, around like 38%. So there's a lot there with those guys getting Vinny in there. And maybe there's something to, hey, getting these guys in, inject something and helps out the veterans of seeing what they're doing at the plate. Like there's something there. I don't know. Maybe
it lights a fire.
Yeah. Maybe it lights a fire. They talked about, I think Dayton Moore talked about when they brought Hosmer up, it was like the break glass move of like, we need a spark. And then Hosmer came up and he was third place in rookie of the year. Like he was really good. And that helped turn the tide a little bit.
Yep.
And that 2012 team wasn't completely awful. So maybe there was something too. Hey, if we bring these guys up, we won't be completely off. Maybe there's something to that.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And that's tough because they have, I mean, all four of those guys between Singer, Lynch, Kowar, and Bubich have been circling in and out a revolving door in that pitching staff and in that bullpen. Yep. They've also brought in Bobby Witt Jr. They've also brought up MJ Melendez. How much is Vinny and Prado? And I mean, is that really all we're looking at as far as like those guys to come up and maybe jumpstart something? It's like, how effective are they really going to be at that? Because they've already tried to do that with like six other guys and it hasn't worked. So I understand where you're coming from. I totally agree that Vinny has earned his keep here. O'Hearn has certainly proven that he's not that guy. Carlos Santana, not going to be around in the long term. Might as well. It's one of those, there's options. You can't sell me something without there being, saying that, you know, there's no other better options when there clearly are options to go with.
Yes. And now moving to the starting rotation, I do think Brady Singer is going to work his way back into the rotation here soon. He has looked pretty solid in AAA. He is actually... there is actually a legitimate emphasis on him throwing his changeup. And it's not like, it doesn't have to be a plus pitch. It doesn't 100%. Have to be, it doesn't have to be elite. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It just has to be there. And not just as a show me like, oh, 1-0, I'm going to lob this over and then go back and throw 20 sinkers and sliders in a row. Like just make it there so that it, at least the hitter has to think about it.
Yes.
So there's, you have a 33% chance of being right and not a 50% chance of being right. Of guessing right on what pitch he's going to throw.
Yeah.
So I think it'll help. And it's actually got pretty decent shape. It's not like he's not, it doesn't bottom out. It's not nothing close to what Jackson Kowar throws, but it at least looks effective. It plays off of his slider and a sinker fine. Mm-hmm. And just let's see what happens. And if it doesn't work or he continues to not be great in the rotation, I think he at least showed flashes. He can be a good reliever. Like he's throwing 97 with the run he gets. That kind of bulldog FU mentality that he has plays really well in one inning spurts. I don't know how well it plays in over five or six.
Yeah.
Like Max Scherzer is the only dude that can do that.
And I would love, I know that Singer's talked about loving Max Scherzer before, and I would love him to turn into Max Scherzer on the mentality part, but at some point it might, there, Max Scherzer is a freak. And that is the exception to the rule more so than the form. Oh, the other part of that, the his changeup kind of reminds me a little bit of Greinke's, just because it looks a lot like his sinker, only it's 7 miles an hour slower. It doesn't, I mean, the shape isn't exaggerated like you're talking about Kowar's, but it, like you said, it keeps him honest, and that gives him something else to think about. I'm totally in on it. He doesn't throw it that much, even when he's down in Omaha, seemingly. I've only watched a couple starts, though, so it doesn't seem like he's that. Like you, I mean, it's just something to think about. And I do, out of necessity, he'll be back in the rotation very soon, I think, because it's, I mean, Bubich can't get past the second inning in most of his starts. So,
And there was even talk that he was going to come into this game today.
Yeah, I think I saw he was warming up.
He was warming up, but they sent Joel Piamps back out there. Uh-huh. So I don't know if it was just one of those, like, hey, get ready just in case or what. But I don't know what they're going to do with him. I wonder if the move is going to be – because the announcer, John Heath, was coming up, and he's starting the game on Thursday in Texas. I think they said a corresponding move will be announced tomorrow. I wonder if it is Chris Bubich going back down to AAA. And that could be – and that, I think, is just going to be a – you're going to be down there for a couple of months, get right, and come. We'll see you in July. And hopefully they're able to work out some things there with his command and his delivery, whatever the issues are for him. There's many. I still like the stuff. I still think there's a viable big league pitcher in there. I just don't know what it looks like at this point.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. I like him a lot, but I just don't know if he can sustain anything. If he can't find the zone, throwing 90, it's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's not going to work. The part that I wanted to kind of, regarding the starting rotation, how much would another starter or two have an effect on this rotation? You're not putting quite as much eggs in the basket of this core, but you're also probably needed to spend assets, whether that be cash or prospects, to bolster that rotation. Where are they if they have like a Frankie Montas and I don't know, some other free agent guy who is going to hit a 4-5 ERA or something like that? Is that going to bolster this rotation enough to be 84 wins, or are we still just kind of treading water?
I think we're still treading water. I think Montas is solid. I still don't know if I want to trade for him.
Sure.
But I think this is really speaking to kind of the draft philosophy of draft bats and pay for pitching. Because as the old saying goes, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. And we're seeing that right now play itself out in real time at the big league level. So
even when you have 25 of them,
I mean, you could be the Angels and draft 20 in a 20 round draft. So who knows? But I have such a hard time believing that none of these guys are going to pan out. Like, there's going to be a couple.
Right.
You're going to get, like, I think Daniel Lynch has a really good chance to sustain. Yep. I think Brady Singer has a chance to sustain in some level. I think John Heasey has a chance to sustain. Johnny Bolin, Austin Cox, Alec Marsh. There are some other guys in there that have an opportunity. Lacey. There are guys in the system that can come over the next 2 years and slot in nicely, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of those guys didn't have the ceiling of like front end rotation. I think Lynch and Lacey were really the only ones that were considered to be potentially more than a 3-4-5 or a swing man. Yep. So, this all kind of adds up. It all, you know, it's not the worst. It's not our worst fears coming true. These guys are not all worthless. They all are potential big leaguers, but it's part of the process to grind the teeth, to hit the growing pains, to learn how to become a successful major league ball player. And it's just, I think this is part of the process. We got to chill a little bit and sit tight, but it's getting harder and harder for sure.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to, you know, there's a certain level of impatience, I think, with, you know, from fans and from organizations that these guys need to go up right away. Like they're been so good in AAA. Like they have to be good at the majors. Not always. Mm-hmm. It takes some time. I mean, you look at like Carlos Rodon. I mean, it took him, he got non-tendered.
Holy crap.
He got non-tendered and then came back and then got himself a really nice contract in San Francisco. Sometimes it takes 3 to 4 years for everything to click. But
and it's two shoulder surgeries.
So there's so many different ways that it happens for these guys.
Yeah.
So don't give up because of 70 big league innings. Like, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
So I just hope that the Royals give these guys every opportunity at the big league level.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Chris Bubich deserves probably a demotion. I think Jackson Kowar has some stuff to work out form or fashion, both on the mound and probably between the ears. I think that's where a lot of his stuff comes. I don't want to speculate too much, but it certainly seems that way because he doesn't look like the same pitcher at the big league level.
Missing bats. It's a very strange thing because when he was dominating AAA, his strikeout numbers were crazy. And now he's not doing any of that either.
He's not even doing that at AAA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to see Brady Singer back soon. I want to see Daniel Lynch get every opportunity. I want to see John Heasley. I want to see Angel Zerpa. up here soon at some point. Like there's a lot of guys that I think can slot in and make way, even if it means going to a six-man rotation by August.
I'm curious to see what happens with Keller.
Yes.
Because he's got 3 years left
of club control. Like that. And I mean, he's been good. Yes. His last start got blown up a little bit yesterday. I do think that some of that is the regression to the mean that's probably coming.
Yeah.
And that's not to crap on Brad Keller. Is he had a sub-2 ERA and the FIP was over 3.5. So it was going to swing back to the other
pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. So
I don't know if he's that guy, but he is very good.
He's still good. And like a 4-run outing, if that's your worst that you have over a 6-week period, cool, dude. Like he's been great.
If that's getting shelled or getting blown up as 4-5 2/3 or whatever it was, fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not gonna worry about that. So and then what I am afraid of though is the continuation of the having to go to the bullpen so often. And I know they're doing a bullpen day today. I think it was Royals Weekly talked about the Royals are doing a bullpen day today. They play 14 games in a row and 19 games in the next 17 days.
Yeah,
so I don't know how well that's going to work. Now they're on their, I believe their fourth pitcher at this point. Let me see.
Maybe just three. I think it was,
Third. So Spire went two, Pyomps went three, and now Colin Snyder's in. Gave up an absolute tank to Brad Miller. He threw a fastball right down the middle. But if they can get through this game throwing only maybe five guys, and at an inning apiece, that being able to get three from Pyomps was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't know if I love this move. And now you got to go to Colorado, where you're probably going to get shelled because it's Colorado. I don't care if the Rockies are good or bad. We know how Coors Field works.
Well, Greinke probably lines up in there somewhere, right? So I don't know if he can qualify for getting shellacked, but he's probably not immune to it. But yeah, no. I mean, it's not a good position to be in. But at the same time, like if there were ever a team that were potentially able to do that, it might be the Royals trying to figure out what pitcher is going to stick.
Yeah,
because like you said, Zerpa's still on that 40-man. He can be called up tomorrow. Bolaños is in that bullpen. He can eat innings. Bubich is in that bullpen. He can eat innings. Carlos Hernandez is still there. He can eat innings. There's dudes that can eat up innings, multiple 3, 4, 5 innings potentially that you can throw out there, but it's not a great position to be in for sure.
No. So, you know, there's a lot there, and I think the bullpen has certainly been the bright spot of this team so far in a lot of different areas. Gabe Spire was the opener today. Still has not given up a run now in 11 innings. He has been awesome, a huge story for this team, and a lot of fun. I know Colin Snyder's gave up a bomb, but he's been a lot of fun.
Yep.
Amir Garrett's gotten touched up a little bit, but I think he's still going to be just fine. I think there's still lots of like with him. I think Carlos Hernandez, I don't know what his future is. He's just a bizarre pitcher. You would think, just bizarre. Like there are sometimes he looks like, holy crap, this dude can be in a, you can slot this dude in every fifth day and we're good. And then there are other days where it's like, how is he not in AAA right now? And there's not much in between there. Like it goes inning to inning, at bat, where who knows?
He seems like the next guy that's like, we get the report of like, he has the best stuff in camp. And then he just keeps getting shellacked on a regular basis. You're like,
well, because he throws 99, he doesn't spin it well, and there's no deception to his delivery whatsoever.
So does he get moved to the bullpen with two pitch of the 99 with the hammer curve?
I think he should. I think that's the best place for him to be. I wanted him there before the season started. I thought that maybe was his best. Like, yeah, go blow it out for an inning. And I bet he probably can hit triple digits pretty consistently if they just let him eat out of the bullpen. And that's fine. If you want to make him your sixth inning guy or something like that, or put him in the seventh with a comfortable lead, then cool. I think that could be his best place for him to succeed. Like, and I think that is some of it too. Putting guys in positions to succeed is certainly another thing that I want to see happen a little more often.
Yep. And I'm fine with they're kind of using Barlow as like a fireman guy. Stammon has been kind of a good late innings dude. They've had guys that can match up really well. And I think
Coleman's been really good as of late.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Snyder and Taylor Clark are both great as far as getting ground bouts and stuff goes. So it feels like they're actually doing great job pairing guys up in that bullpen. So again, that bullpen is a strong suit. The defense is a strong suit, but it's the other parts, the starting pitching and the offense, that need to come around, and they're probably cooking with oil. So that's kind of where I'm at here, is what is the simplest thing that they can do to turn this ship around? What is there one thing? Is there two things that are fairly simple that can actually right the ship and do this the right way, or at least light the spark, turn things around in the clubhouse? Because according to Alec Lewis in the Athletic article, they're getting visibly frustrated with how things are going. Mike Matheny's holding press conferences being like, yeah, we're all pissed off, blah, blah, blah. So is there a simple move that they could do right now? We talk about it all the time. Vinny Pasquantino, he's a big team guy. He's a leader guy.
Kids play, man. It's let the kids play. If you're gonna be bad, at least be bad and interesting.
But I'm not trying to sell out the year. I mean, the bad and the interesting. I totally understand. And I agree.
Here's the thing: how much worse could it get?
Not much.
Because you are currently pacing 106 losses.
Right.
I am of the belief that if you put all the young guys in the lineup, it's probably better than what you're running out right now with dudes that have no big league experience.
Mm-hmm.
They're just flat out, more often than not, better players.
Yeah.
And if you really are serious about winning, you put your best nine out there.
Yeah.
And the Royals haven't done that at any point this season.
Yeah. It's peculiar. I do wonder, it does seem like the Melendez, the Bobby Witt Jr., the Emmanuel Riveras, they come up and they're actually looking at least as good, if not better, than their veteran counterparts. So I do wonder if, you know, potentially adding a Vinny Pasquantino. I mean, I don't know about Prado. He got really hot before getting hit in the head and going on the IL. But I mean, maybe that's a thing. Maybe the offensive bats and stuff are a little bit more further along. They're willing to wait on them a little bit longer, and maybe they're a little bit. Maybe that's it. Maybe that is the move. But it just seems like they aren't far away. It doesn't seem like, even though it does seem like they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I get it. I think they're so close, but they just don't want to make that final move.
Yeah.
Is how it feels. Like I think they want to, and they talk about these guys really highly, and then like, nah, they'll stay in AAA.
We're so close to a McDonald's double quarter pounder with cheese. So close.
Yes.
Think, just get those damn onions out of here.
I think MJ Melendez is up to stay. I think I don't see a move for him back down. I think he has been really impressive. I know,
especially
the stuff behind,
if they're willing to sit him as much as they are.
Yeah, I mean, and they almost put him on a right field yesterday.
Yep.
That move got changed very fast. I don't know if that
was that? They give a reason.
They never said. I know some people on Twitter were like, "Oh, they watched him in warm-ups." We're like, "Nope." I'm like, hey, "Don't be an ass." Hey, I mean, it can't be worse than sticking Hunter Dozier out there like they almost did. Or, you know,
well, stuck Whit Merrifield out there. And that
MJ Melendez is a good enough athlete. I bet he can probably be as good as Whit Merrifield in right field.
I think that's actually true. Yeah.
So whatever they can do to get his bat in the lineup, I'm okay with them not like pushing him along. Like he's not the same ceiling as Bobby Witt Jr. He doesn't need to be in the lineup every day, but at least until he gets comfortable. I think he's an everyday player by about a month from now, I think. Yeah. I can see them finding ways to get him in the lineup every day. And I think he's proven his worth there. He puts together the best at bats anybody on this team right now. Mm-hmm. So you can't – I don't think there's any reason to send him back down to AAA. So when Cam Gallagher does get healthy, I'm curious what the move is there.
Yeah, me too.
I would be very frustrated if that were the case and they do send him back down to AAA, because that, again, tells me it's a move not trying to win. Right. And that – It goes back to that loyalty type thing.
Yeah.
And to a certain point, I get it. But as I mentioned a little bit ago, you got to get your best nine on the field. Yeah. And getting your best nine in the field means putting MJ Melendez out there at least 4 days a week.
So I think that is the perfect opportunity to transition to potentially the hardest choice to make here. So you got the loyalty factor. You got the team leadership factor. You've got the proven commodity in the past kind of declining in Whit Merrifield. Every fan wants to see Whit Merrifield as a Royal succeeding like he's always been. He was the one who missed the contention window. He signed that extension to stay in Kansas City, albeit didn't buy out that many free agent years, but He did choose to stay in Kansas City for at least an extra season or two. Obviously, one of the worst hitters in baseball thus far. Having a good night tonight, though. He's on base again for the third time, at least, at this point. So what do you do with Whit Merrifield if you're Piccolo / Dayton Moore?
I think it's just as simple as giving him a break. Like, I think he's still a good part of this team. Like,
sure.
You missed your window to trade him.
Yes.
You missed that a long time ago. So probably that's not going to happen now. So you're kind of stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with him being in the lineup most days. Mm. Like, generally, I'm okay with it. I'm not like, you know, get rid of him. But just, like, he's not going to reach Cal Ripken Jr.'s streak. It's cute. Well, it's cool. It's awesome to see that a guy can man the post every day.
Right.
But it is very clearly having a detriment on his season.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they had a cut, and I know that people want to make excuses like, well, they had 3 days off in Baltimore.
Right.
Cool. He's still preparing. Like,
sure.
Mike Matheny, I want him to go up to his desk or to his locker and go, hey, dude, don't even get dressed today. Like, don't even go out to BP. Like, you're gonna sit tomorrow. Take some time, relax, and we'll get ready for the game on pick a day. I think, like, I don't want him to sit there and play 162 games. I think it would be terrible for him.
Mm-hmm. Could
so
be.
So I think that's where I sit. It's just give him a break. Give him a couple days off. Get him out of the lineup. What, if you really need a pinch hitter late in the game. Yeah.
Like, you either they're not going to trade him.
They're not going to trade him. They're not going to release him. They're not going to DFA. They're not going to cut
right.
him. So
but he's clearly a hole.
He is clearly a hole in the lineup until tonight. So
still tonight, yeah, he's everything tonight.
So give him some rest is the best thing I can think the Royals can do for him.
It's a tough situation because I am a firm believer in him being the guy in the clubhouse. I think he's the guy that kind of he's the glue guy. He's also the leader, leads from the front. And it's hard. It's got to be tough on him to be like struggling at this point, knowing that he wants to be that guy, that all these dudes thinks he's that guy, and still like the worst hitter in baseball and getting just like bounced around this lineup to wherever he'll hurt you less. That's got to be a tough shot to the ego in and of itself. So maybe the days off is a thing and absolutely will benefit him. It just kind of points to what do you do? Like, you're kind of stuck if you're in that situation. Like the O'Hearn and the Carlos Santana situation, there are options. You can't sell me a bill of goods. That is not true. But the Whit Merrifield thing, like, you got to – he's not going anywhere. He can't go anywhere. He shouldn't go anywhere. So it's a way tougher situation than the other situations, I think.
Yeah, it certainly is a weird one. And because, like I said, like there's not all the options there are for some other, you know, lineup.
Right. And so, you can do that with some dudes. Like, some of those options are there, some of them are not. And that's just how it is. Some teams can throw money at it. Some teams can't. They can throw prospects at it. Some people are just stuck. And I feel like that's like Alec Lewis talked about, 1 foot in the contention window or 1 foot in the contention water, 1 foot in the rebuild water, and you're stuck. You cannot move from any of them until you get shoved out, type of thing. So that's where we are.
Yeah. I don't want to belabor the point too much. Obviously we are 28 games into the season now at this point. Obviously it's not been good. There's still a lot of season left, and I hope that they can find a way to turn things around here soon. They're at 4-1 now here in the seventh as we're recording. So hopefully they can get one here, go for a series win tomorrow in Texas before heading on to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, you have any final thoughts here before we get out of here?
Final thoughts. The new Jack Harlow album is really good. I'm a big fan of that album. I have not liked new hip hop in a long time, but I'm a big fan of that album. Just kind of every time I listen to it, I like it even more. So if you haven't touched in on hip hop any time lately, I would recommend going and checking that out. But other than that, just be good to each other, man. I mean, we're all just out here struggling. All just trying to keep our heads above water, including every member of that Royals organization. So it's just be good to be each other. Be a beacon of positivity is all I got to say.
Yeah. Be God, what's his name from the show?
Jack
Sudeikis. Jason Sudeikis.
Ted Lasso. There it
is. Ted Lasso. Oh my God, people are going to hate me for forgetting his name.
I don't know why I said Jack. Jack Harlow is just on my
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Be Ted Lasso out there. Believe. Be a goldfish. Whatever other awesome stuff he says. I've never watched the show, but I've heard it's amazing.
It's great. Highly recommend checking it out.
I don't have any final thoughts tonight. Let's just hope the Royals can get a win. And I want to have positive vibes on this podcast. It is too early in the season for hellfire damnation. Like, it's too early for it. I don't want to have to get there. I can get there, but I don't want to.
God, I want to be. If it gets this bad the whole time, what happens? Is there like four people in that stadium?
My background is going to be the Elmo. of just elbow with his arms up, everything is on fire. Like, that'll be my background on an episode if the Royals lose like 12 in a row. So, I don't want to get to that point, guys.
This glass will be
filled up to here. It'll be a five fingers of Jameson.
Let's get it. Yeah, good vibes tonight. 4-1. Things are turning around. We just needed a weird shakeup bullpen. Whit Merrifield's right now. We got this.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but thank you all for listening. Subscribe to KCSN on YouTube here. Hit that notification bell. Don't miss anything that we have going on here at KCSN. Be sure to subscribe to our audio channel, KCSN Kansas City Royals. Don't miss an episode of this show or Royals Farm Report. We have an interview with Noah Cameron coming up on the next episode. Lefty at playing for the Columbia Fireflies, local kids. So we're excited to get him on. Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.